Okay, just a little bit. It's going to be all right. It can't get hot here like it's going to get there. So y'all just keep it in mind. We're in a cool spot. I'm going to sweat for you. Turn to Acts. Chapter number 26. And I was thinking, Paul here is permitted to speak and give an account. And what would I do when I get hauled before the judge one day and he says, you are permitted to speak. You are permitted freely to tell why you believe what you believe. Would I take that opportunity to give it all I got, or would I just, well, I'm a Christian? Because if that's all you got, you ain't got much. But Paul here is in front of Agrippa, just a chapter before he preaches to Festus, temperance and righteousness and judgment to come. And in one place here in this chapter, Festus jumps up and hollers, Paul, you're mad! Much study has made you mad. Because Festus was under conviction, whether he ever got saved or not, I don't know, but he was under a conviction of the righteousness that's going to come and the temperance and the judgment that's going to come. And I want you to understand that every one of us will answer for that one day. We'll either answer because of what Jesus Christ has done, or we'll have to answer for ourselves like Festus probably will. Because it said he feared and he trembled and he was scared to death, but he never believed. He never trusted Jesus Christ for his sins. He never one time says, you're right, God, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. Festus trembled and he feared and he was upset and he even called Paul mad at one time. Much study hath made you mad. Sometimes I think much study makes me mad. Maybe not for the right reasons, but it makes me mad. And it says here in verse chapter 26, Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Man, would somebody give us the opportunity to speak for ourselves? If somebody gives you the opportunity, if somebody sees your life, if somebody watches you walking the walk and talking the talk, and they come up to you and say, would you tell me why you act like you do? Why do you believe what you believe? You're permitted, I'm giving you permission to tell me what you believe. What are you going to do? Are you going to lay it all out? Or are you just going to just sort of soft shoulder it and going about your business? It says here, Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and he answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. Now we know we're not being accused of the Jews here, but when you have an opportunity to give an answer for that thing that is in you, it's the same thing here. You're being accused. Somebody's wanting to know what you believe, how you believe it, the things you believe. Are you going to give him the answer? Are you going to be happy? God has opened a door for you to give a witness. Are you going to be happy to be able to say, I am happy this day to be able to tell you all the things that I believe, all the things that's happened to me, all the things that has brought me to the place where I am right now? He says, I am happy because I shall answer for myself this day as touching the things which I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all the customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. In other words, they've called me into question about the resurrection. They've called me in question about life after death. They've called me in question about a hope of a Savior coming. They've called me in question about the Lord Jesus Christ. I am happy, Lord, that you are an expert. You folks have heard this stuff. You folks know this stuff. You folks have been told the things about the prophets have said and what the teachers have said and what the preachers have said. You folks are believers in Jesus Christ on the most part. And it says, I am happy that I can talk to you because you know the laws. You know what they say. You know the rule of things. Agrippa, you're an expert. Now, Festus, he didn't know all this stuff. But Agrippa, you're an expert in the laws of the Jews. You're an expert in the fact that you know what the Pharisees are. You're an expert in the fact that you know what the Sadducees are. You even know what the Stoics do and the Epicureans do and all those folks do. You're an expert in all these philosophies and religious aspects of what's going on. So when I get to tell you what I'm doing, it's not going to be ignorance to you. You're going to be able to put this together and say, wow, he's talking about the resurrection. He's talking about Jesus Christ. He's talking about the Messiah to come. He's expecting Agrippa to get a hold of these things because he's an expert in the prophets and in the laws and in the rules. He says, I'm glad I get to talk to you because I'm not just talking to somebody that don't know anything. I'm talking to someone who can explain these things to Festus and to Bernice and to those other folks I've been preaching to. He says, I am happy that I get to proclaim what's going on, especially because you are a expert in these things. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation and Jerusalem, know all the Jews. In other words, the folks who brought me to trial, they know where I came from. First of all, I was born at Tarsus. Yes, I was born a Sicilian, but at a very young age, I was brought to Jerusalem. At a very young age, I was set to study under Gamaliel. At a very young age, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And the Pharisees believe in a resurrection. The Pharisees believe in angels. The Pharisees believe in afterlife. Whereas the Sadducees don't believe a lot of that stuff. So it says here, you knew, they knew what I believed. They knew what my hope was. They knew that I was believing in a hope of an afterlife and things coming on. It says they knew how I was raised up, which knew me from the beginning, not from the beginning of the foundation of the world, which we always talk about, but from the beginning, from his date of his birth, from the day he was raised up, from the day he was brought to Gamaliel. It says, who knew my life and my youth, which at the first among me, among mine own nation was at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, or if they would tell the truth, that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. In other words, I was a religious nut. I was totally on fire, on zeal, without any kind of knowledge of God. I was all about the rule. I was all about the regulation. I was all about taking care of Jehovah. The only way I knew how was by works and by sacrifice. He says, I was a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged of the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. Now, he's sitting here. Abraham was looking for a Messiah. Isaac was looking for a Messiah. Jacob looking for a Messiah. Everyone had a promise of a Messiah coming. Every one of them had a promise of a life after. A city which has not been built by hands. Everyone was looking for God to save them. It says, I stand here being judged for what our fathers believed. I'm being judged here because I believe there's a resurrection. I'm being judged here because I believe there's a Messiah. I'm being judged here because there's a Savior. And I'm being judged because I've already said He is here and has come. We're not looking for Him still. He's already been. I'm being judged because of the promise. Unto the promise of our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. I am here on trial for my life for talking about Jesus Christ. I am on trial for my life that I might tell you there is a Savior out there who will save all who believe in Him. I'm being charged and they want to kill me because I'm talking about a life after, a resurrection, a glorious hope to come, who's coming back, as we're going to read in that next chapter, about who will change our glorious bodies and our stuff. It says here, I am accused of the Jews. And he's very courteous to King Agrippa. He always acknowledges him, King Agrippa. And it says here, and he says, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you, King Agrippa? You know you've studied the prophets. You know you've studied the law. You know you've studied the Word of God. You know you've studied the right things. How should it be an incredible thing with you that God should raise the dead? He's looking at a man who's unsaved. He's looking at a man who all he has is the prophets and Moses. Hello? That's all we're supposed to have is the prophets and Moses. If prophets and Moses won't get you, nothing else will. He says, why would a thing be strange to you, Agrippa, that God would raise folks from the dead? That He would even raise anyone from the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. In other words, back when I was lost, back when I had a zeal of God, back when I hated the new way, I went against this way. I kicked against the pricks, so to speak. I fought against the things of God. I held my zeal. I held my religion. I held my way of thinking that I'm pleasing God by doing all these laws and rules and regulations, by just being a great good person. I'm pleasing God. He says, verily I thought with myself that I ought to do many things. In other words, I need to stop this. I need to make this stop because they're corrupting my religious system. They're messing up my work salvation. They're messing up my doing things to make God happy. They're preaching the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and I can't stand it because that causes a change. That causes repentance. That causes a turn from my way to His way. And He says, I fought against that. I kicked against that. I could not stand that because it would make me different. And then truthfully, that's the same thing every one of us did as God's bringing us along and we're hearing about this Jesus stuff and this grace stuff and to believe on Jesus. And we said, ain't I as good as everybody else? And don't I do things as great as everybody else? And ain't my religion just as good as yours? That's what the Muslims would say. We're going to heaven. The Buddhists would say, I'm going to heaven. The Shintoists would say, I'm going to heaven. The Scientology folks would say, we're going to heaven. Even the Jehovah Witnesses would tell you they're going to heaven, but they have denied Jesus Christ. It says here, which things I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison. They said, a lot of folks say, I don't remember Paul killing anybody. But his word against them caused them to be put to death. Paul did have people killed, among other things. Paul was not what you would call the sweetest of individuals before he got saved. He had a zeal for God that caused death in a lot of folks. He says, in Jerusalem, many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. That's his excuse. Oh, they gave me authority. They could have shut me down, but no, they helped me out. I'd like to kill some of these guys. I'd like to drag them to jail. I'd like to put them in prison. I'd like to shut this way up. And they, of the chief priest, says, okay, Paul, you want to go do all that? I give you permission. Yeah, we'll even write it in paper for you. Now it's legal. Go get them, boy. Go get them. Like a pit bull, he was after them. He says, shut many up in prison. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. Just like right now, they're giving their voice against me to put me to death. I did the very same thing to them. Agrippa, this is the big turnaround. I was just like them. I had a zeal of God just like them. I was just as much against Jesus Christ as they are. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, not just a couple. When we read about Stephen, we say, well, he did Stephen, and then he's going to Damascus. He did it often. This wasn't just his first go-around with persecuting the church. This wasn't his first go-around with making people fear God and fear the what he could do for people who believed in Jesus Christ. This was something he did often. Excuse me. He says, and I compel them to blaspheme. In other words, if you'll just denounce that Christ is your King, if you would just denounce that Jesus is your Savior, I won't stone you. I won't carry you up there where they'll beat you up and put you in prison. We'll let you go. All you got to do is say, oh man, I made a mistake. I don't believe in Jesus like that. But these folks did not do that. These folks were carried to get stoned and cut asunder and everything else because they would not blaspheme their Savior. What will you do when you get called in front of the judge? When he says, I am happy. He could have got killed right here. I am happy, King Agrippa, that I could tell you why I'm here. He says, I punished them off in every synagogue, and I compelled them, I begged them, I offered them to get away if they would just blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them. Man, I don't know if you remember, right? We were exceedingly mad against God at one time or another. In fact, the Bible says we were an enmity against God. He was exceedingly mad against them, and he persecuted them even unto strange cities. So when we read the Bible and we think, well, he just did this one time. No, he did it a lot. He enjoyed doing this. This was his passion, to get rid of anybody who was a believer in Jesus Christ. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority, not only was I wasn't going here just by myself, but I had authority from the chief priest, from the guys in charge. I was going with authority and commission from the chief priest. In other words, he had a bunch of soldiers and guys with equipment to go with him to make sure that anybody he found in the way, anybody, he had enough force and enough power and enough stuff to bring them in. He didn't go with just him and letters. All right, come on with me. No, he brought some folks with him with spears and swords and horses and armament. He had all the power he needed to drag you to jail. He says, I had authority and commission from the chief priest. And here's where it gets kind of tricky. At midday, O King, I want you to understand, King, the sun was shining. It was bright. It was very much light. At midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven Now the sun may be over here, but this light from heaven may have been from over here. I don't know. From heaven, above the brightness of the sun. So ever how bright the sun was shining over here, when this light over here appeared, the sun was ashamed. The sun didn't even compare. Now I'm talking about the sun. Because this sun outshines that sun. He says, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. It would have been hard to hide that light. And when we were all fallen to the earth. Now whether they were all on horses or on foot, I won't argue with that, but I'm guarantee you this, they all fell down to the earth. So we were all fallen to the earth. I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue. In other words, this way, I'm making sure you understand this is the God of the Hebrews. This is the God of the Pharisees should be answering to. This is the God of Jehovah. This is the God who has the nation of the 12 tribes in His hand. This is the God who chose out Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He spoke to him in the Hebrew tongue so he'd understand. This is that God that spoke to him. Spoke to me and said in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul. One day he said, Charlie, Charlie. He spoke to me in the Hebrew tongue, why persecutest thou me? Why are you so mad at me? Why do you hate God so much? Why do you have to prove you're all this when you're really nothing? Why are you kicking against the pricks? It says, why persecuted thou me? Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? Yes! The whole time I was fighting and kicking against God, it was hard. You say, really? Were you doing that? Yeah. You were too. You may not understood it, but you were fighting against everything that was in you that God was trying to make right in you. You were fighting against, well, God, it's my life. I can sin. It's my life. I can be religious if I want. It's my life. I can do this or that. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. It is. That thing is sharp. And believe it, it does not bend. It doesn't twist. It doesn't flip up backwards. When it's in front of you and you're kicking back at it, it is always sharp and pointed and it hurts. You see, we do things that hurt ourselves instead of just going to Jesus and saying, you're right, Lord. You're the Savior, Lord. You're the forgiver of my sins. I'd rather kick against that prick and I'd rather fight against the things of God and have my own way. He says, and I said, who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord? We're not going to get through with this, are we? You may have to come back tonight. Who art thou, Lord? And I said, and he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Not just some far-off thing or some angel or some other deity of something that somebody might have made up. He says, I am Jesus, the one whom thou persecutest. If you're kicking against the church, if you're fighting against Christianity, if you're fighting against God about your salvation, you're kicking against the prick and you're fighting against Jesus Christ Himself. He says, and Jesus is so sweet here, he says, but rise and stand to thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Now you think about this. He appeared to each one of us in a certain way for a purpose. But for Paul, he gives him a Paul, he spells it out right off the bat. For this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and those things which will appear unto thee. In other words, I have appeared unto you because you're going to appear in front of Agrippa. You're going to appear in front of Festus. You're going to appear in front of Bernice. You're even going to go to appear in front of Caesar and his household. Wow. Paul, you didn't volunteer for this, but this is why I called you out. This is why Paul so often uses the thing, you are a soldier, and we're drafting you. You didn't volunteer. You may, I'm volunteered to go to the mission field. No, you didn't. You were drafted. God got onto your heart and wore you out until you said, yes, Lord, I'll go. Yes, I'll go to the jail. Somebody needs to go. I'll go to the detention center. Somebody needs to go. I'll go to the old folks' home. Somebody needs to go. You were drafted. It says here, my Bible anyways. And here's why you were done this. To deliver thee from the people and from the Gentiles of whom I shall send thee. In other words, you're going to go preach this message. You're going to go deliver this message. But they're not going to stop you and they're not going to hurt you. To open the eyes. That's what every preacher wants to do, is to open the eyes. Now, I understand who does the saving. But I can only talk to you of carnal things and life things and human things unless you're saved. It says to open the eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Boy, did we study that this morning? From darkness and light. To turn you to the Lord Jesus Christ. All light, all forgiveness, all righteousness. And from the power of Satan. That's what every preacher wants to do, is to make somebody wake up to understand that you're under the influence of Satan. There is another way. There is another direction. There is another person. You do not have to be under the power of Satan if you just repent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It says here, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. Now that's the preacher's hope. That's what every evangelist's hope is. To open your eyes, to turn you from the power of darkness, to turn you from Satan, and to turn you to God. I understand who saves. That they may receive forgiveness for their sins. You see, the light has to come on. Someone has to tell you. I understand hearing is from the Lord, but hearing is also physical, also. If it wasn't, he'd send down a messenger from the sky. He told us to preach the gospel. Amen. I'm not trying to deny what I believe. I'm trying to tell you the truth of what it says here. Right. To tell people about Jesus. I don't know who he will save. I know I'm supposed to tell. It says here, to open their eyes from the power of Satan, that they may receive forgiveness of sin. Who forgives sin? God. The forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. The same faith that I believe, the same faith that you believe, is the same faith that God sent down sanctifying us when He saved us, called us out of darkness, opened our eyes. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient. In other words, when I had my eyes opened, when I was knocked on the ground, when that light shone unto me and says, here's what you're going to go do, Paul. Not one iota was, oh no, I'm not, neither. I'm going to still keep kicking against the pricks. No, he said, when his eyes were opened, when faith came to him, when he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, I was obedient to that call. Whereupon, O King, I was not disobedient to that heavenly vision, but showed first to them in Damascus. In other words, I went and preached here, and I went and preached there, and I went and preached the things I learned. And then I went to the backside of the desert. did all these things, having therefore obtained help from God. Help from God. God has protected him when he got arrested. God has protected him when he got drug up into the upper chamber of that captain and they were going to bring him back down the next day and kill him. God had protected him all the way to the point where he was in front of King Agrippa, which is up north from where he was. And he says, to show first unto them in Damascus and Jerusalem through all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God. And if there's anything you get out of this thing this morning, repent and turn to God and do the works meet of repentance. We discussed that this morning. Our works that we have now are meat of repentance because God has wrought those works in us. This is not something I decide, well, I'm going to start doing all this so God will like me. No, I'm doing all this because God has loved me. God has changed me. For this cause, O King Agrippa, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me because I was preaching the love of God. Because I was preaching the grace of God. Because I was preaching, repent and turn to God. They want me dead. They want to kill me for this cause. Having there obtained help from God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to the small and great. In other words, if you'll read all the accounts of this thing that happened to Paul, is in three different places. He said that you'll go to kings and you'll go to governors and you'll go to places everywhere else where nobody else could go to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, having therefore obtained help, I continue to this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other thing than those which the prophets and Moses should say should come. In other words, Jesus said the rich man had the prophets and he had Moses and he refused them both. You also have the prophets, you have Moses, and what will you do with them? It says he had prophets, that Christ should suffer. All the prophets all preached about you're going to hate Christ. You're going to refuse Christ. You're going to hang him on a tree one day. You're going to sell him for 30 pieces of silver one day. Everything in the prophets talks about Christ and what's going to happen to Christ and how men are going to reject Christ. And Christ should suffer. He did suffer more than any other man will ever suffer in the whole history of mankind. He suffered. And that he should be the first that should rise from the dead. Now we understand that he rose three people from the dead, and we also know Elijah brought back a young man, but all these died again. When he rose from the dead, he never died again. He will never die again because sin cannot touch him. Has no hold on him. That's why he couldn't stay dead to begin with. He was sinless. So therefore, death couldn't say, oh, you belong to me because you're a sinner. He's, oh, no, death, I don't belong to you because I have never sinned. But I have paid the sin debt for them. Them I died. Them I became sin. Them I took their place. I was not worthy of death, but for them I died. He suffered and he rose from the dead that he should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. In other words, he didn't just rise to save the Jewish people. That would have been one church, the Jewish church then. And we'd all had to go join that church. But he died that he might bring the Gentiles and the Jewish people into one body in Christ Jesus. And as he thus spake for himself, O Festus, Oh, Festus, being under conviction. Oh, Festus, saying, at a convenient time I'll hear thee again. Oh, Festus, saying, I've been taught righteousness. God is right and holy and okay. I've been taught temperance, get right with God. And I've been taught judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. And he says, oh, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art mad. You crazy, Paul. This resurrection stuff, this Jesus who died for our sin stuff, this thing, you're a nut to believe all this stuff. That's what he thought. I don't think Festus ever got saved. I just don't. But if I see him up there, I'm going to say, thank the Lord. Praise God. With a loud voice, he said, Paul, thou art beside thyself. You've become lunatic. You've become sideways with what you believe, what you were raised up with. You don't even believe what you grew up knowing. You have totally jump from this ship to that ship. And that's what you must do to leave, to believe in Jesus Christ. You must leave everything that was to come to Him. He says, you're mad. You're beside yourself. Much learning doth make thee mad. In other words, you studied too many books. You're a nut. But he said, I am not mad. That's right. Most noble Festus, with still respect, just because somebody calls us down for us being mad or crazy or lunatic, with still would respect, most noble Festus, you're lost. You're going to hell probably because you refuse Jesus Christ. But I'm still going to give you the respect of what you are. Most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. In other words, Festus, I know what you believe, but I have told you the truth, and I have told you with sincerity, I've told you with piety, I've told you with the most honesty that I can say, there is a judgment coming, there is a temperance, there is a righteousness. Oh, most noble Festus, I know what you believe, but I have been truthful to you. For the king knoweth these things. Now he's back to Agrippa, so don't get lost on him. For the king knoweth these things before whom I speak freely, for I am persuaded. In other words, he's not guessing, he's not judging, he's got it settled down. I am persuaded that none of those things are hidden from him. In other words, Agrippa, you know the prophets. You know the book of Moses. You've read all the Old Testament through and through and memorized it. You know all the laws. You know all the regulations. I understand that what I have told you is not a surprise to you. You know these things. I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from you. You know that I'm telling you the truth. You know that I'm being right with you. For this thing was not done in a corner. Jesus Christ did not die on some backside of a wall in a room somewhere where nobody could see it. He was out on a hillside, on a public walkway, where people could walk by and wag their heads at him and make fun of him. And he died right there in humiliation and naked on that cross and bare for the world to see. And he did it for those he loved. He says, I know that you know these things, King Agrippa. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Do you not believe what I'm telling you this morning? Do you not understand I'm talking about this Christ, the Savior of the world? The one who will judge the world, King Agrippa? Believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. You might not show it to these folks, but I know you believe this stuff. I know you understand this stuff. I know you can hear with your eyes and your ears and your intellect. I know you know these things. Don't let it stop there. He says, I know thou believest. Then King Agrippa said to Paul, almost, oh, I don't want nobody to be almost. I know it's not in my hands, but I don't want nobody to be almost. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. That's the saddest thing that I could ever hear, is I was this close to Jesus Christ. I was this close to life eternal. I was right there. I was almost persuaded. That's the saddest words in the Bible, almost. I was almost. And Paul said, and with all sincerity, I would say the same thing. I would to God that not only thou, King Agrippa, and whoever else is in this court listening, and whoever else is in this room listening, and we know that there were at least two kings in there, and a couple of queens in there, and all the soldiers were in there, and all the court attendants were in there. I would to God. I know I've been preaching to you, King Agrippa, but they've heard every word I've said. God's talking to somebody in here today. We've all heard everything that's been said. It says, I would to God that not only thou, King Agrippa, but also all that hear me this day were both almost, that's scary, and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. I don't want them tied up. I don't want them in jeopardy of their life because of what they believe, but I want them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want them to trust in God like I trust in God. I want them to believe in Jesus like I want them to understand it is worth it to die for Christ and to lose everything else. He says, I would to God, I would, that not only thou, O King, but also all that hear me this day. If I didn't believe that with all my heart, I need to close this book and step down there and get somebody else to believe that everyone in here might be believers. To pray to God that God would touch every heart in the place. And that everyone in here would trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That everyone in here would be have their eyes opened and turned from darkness unto light and from the power of Satan unto God. That's what I wish, King Agrippa. That's what I wish the whole multitude here would get. Except these bonds. I don't want them to be on trial. I don't want them to go to the death chamber or the beating or whatever may come. But I would love to know that they all believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, including you, King Agrippa. Now, if God has told you it's you, then you tell us what He did. If God has saved you, you tell us God has saved you. And we'll rejoice and be glad